that is cute little Dakota Fanning, not so cute in the wrong ways.
No, not so cute at all.
That's a grown woman, guys. Sorry. Some of you out there are like, little Dakota Fanning? All grown up.
No, she can't be. She is, and she's got a little sister coming up, too.
Yeah, she does, who is equally cute and sweet and also a good actress, from what I've seen.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, this scene right here in The Runaways, my eyes were bucked like, is that Dakota? That can't be Dakota Fanning gyrating into the camera and wearing lingerie. It's not. I can't take it.
That was totally Dakota Fanning.
It was. Ah, so anyway, good morning, lovely people.
Good morning, good morning. And it's some kind of holiday. I forget which holiday.
It's the President's Day.
Is it the President's Day? And what is going on with Chrome?
I don't know. You know what? I forgot.
I'm about to have a fit with Chrome.
Don't kill it. I forgot about last week on Valentine's Day. Speaking of presidents. Did you see where he was singing to Michelle?
No, I didn't see that. They are so cute.
They are so cute. I'm just grossed out. They're so cute.
Yeah.
Got it, you two. All on the TV just smooching and hugging. No, it's
actually would
nice.
Totally climb up in his lap.
Dude, I would love to be his Monica Lewinsky. I'm just saying. Where I am Barack anytime. And I can keep a secret. I don't need to say anything. I'm off. I started out the day just wrong. Actually, we got a very nice tweet. That's what I woke up to, ironically. Did you see the tweet we got early this morning?
I did not. I think I was too busy tweeting.
Yeah, wait a minute. What time were you tweeting? Okay, Mr. Brandon tweeted, said we were amazing. We're amazing. He said we're amazing.
Aww.
Thank you. We love to be loved. See, that's how you get what you want. We like compliments.
Mm-hmm. We do. We totally do.
But anyway, we'll throw boobs your way. Boobs.
Yeah, I'm a little too lazy to be bouncing the boobs today, so. Sorry.
Do you really need to bounce them?
Bouncing the boobs. All right, there we go.
You don't really need to bounce them. They're fatty.
Oh,
some people are just tuning into us for the first time and it's like, what the hell have I stumbled across? This is lunch. Mm-hmm. I'm Corey.
And I am Ginger.
Uh-huh.
Totally can't see, but I'm doing like arm motions, poses, the whole Vogue, all that stuff. Yeah,
straight. That's how we roll in the morning. I have to go first.
All right, go first. What do you got?
Actually, this came in over the weekend, like late in the day, like 6:30 Friday, which means we were not here. Oh, by the way, you do get us for a full hour today.
Yay! A full hour.
But Remains released an app over the weekend.
Oh, did they? What kind of app?
It's an interactive world map for Skyrim.
That is cool.
It's the sexiest thing ever. It be free, but I'm going to tell you about it. Okay, so this is called the... Wait, girl, breathe.
All right.
Breathe. I'm getting to it. Okay, so it's a strategy app. It is approved by Bethesda because apparently there's some fakers running around on the App Store. It reveals every primary and secondary location, point of interest, world encounter, vendor, trainer, and unique item across the realm, from the 9 major hold cities to the expanses of wilderness and mountains. In fact, it has over 150 interactive little areas.
Oh, that is too cool.
Now, you can download the map with all 9 whole capital city locations for free. There are in-app purchases. You can get all of it for free. But the in-app purchases are supposed to include everything from primary and secondary locations to over 1,000 points of interest. Unfortunately, Ginger, it is not on Android.
People, stop leaving us out. Come on. Android is where it's at.
Well, we did get in contact with Prima Games. They haven't said anything back to us today. We didn't ask them about the map. We just wanted them to know that we were all stoked about trying it. So I don't have an iPhone, but I do have an iPad at my disposal at current. So I'll probably try it out at some point this week. I'll let you know if it's good. But if you're listening, Prima Games, please throw it to an Android one, because I'm telling you, from somebody who's stuck in the car sometimes or stuck places I don't want to be, these types of things keep me going. When I can't be where Skyrim is, you know, I can't be in front of my console, I pull out my phone, and I'm going through maps, and I'm like, well, I'm going here next. When I get home, this is where I'm going. So I can't do that. I have a droid, so I need you to – I just want to watch that.
Yes, we do. We need – why do y'all keep leaving us out? Come on.
We know why, but – I don't know. Maybe it's the way I think. Maybe it's backwards thinking, but I would think you would take on the harder one first, since the iPhone is the easiest because they only have the one phone. I would think you would go after the droid first. We are getting to be the much larger.
You would think this. You really would. You would really, really think this. But apparently, no such luck.
I wish. Droid.
Me too. All right. Well, since my one story that I was going to read is apparently not wanting to open...
Do you need me to do another one?
That would probably be a good thing because everything just locked up.
Man, Ginger, what you doing over there?
Apparently breaking everything.
Well, stop it, Ginger.
I'm trying.
You know what? I think I lost mine, too, for that matter. I think I just closed it by accident. Yeah,
I'm reopening everything inside Firefox.
I got some charts open, so we're going to do some charts.
Okay.
Let me clear my throat. Look, that's me stalling while I wait for it to load up. See, we got some loading issues. It's not Chrome. It's the Internet.
It is something. It is definitely... I'm not running anything with Shockwave. Stop it!
It is... Yeah. It is, oh my Jesus. Okay, so we can't do any charts either. This
apparently. All right. I really, really, really do have one. All right. There we go. Is it going to open? Anyways, I can start talking because I know about it because I wrote some about it. HR 1981. Have you people heard about this?
Thank you, ma'am.
This is like worse than ACTO. This is written by the same people that wrote the SOPA Act. They're mad that it's killed, so they are trying to sneak this one by. I do not like this one. All right, so HR 1981, what exactly is it? It is called Protecting Children from Internet Pornography, or Pornographers. I forget which one. All right, pretty much the main deal is that they're trying to make it sound like, oh, we're protecting kids from these pedophiles and this, that, and the other. Stop with the Shockwave thing. But the main deal is Section 4 that you really always, always, always read the fine print of these people. Section 4 says, a provider of an electronic communication service or remote computing service shall retain for a period of at least 18 months the temporarily assigned network addresses the service assigns to each account. That means they are tracking everything we do, even if we've not done anything. So apparently no longer do we have to be found guilty. Are we innocent until proven guilty? No, we are guilty until proven innocent. For 18 months, our ISPs have to keep every website we go to, everything we do. Not only is this bad for them, because that's going to cost them extra money, because they also have to protect our information, because Lord forbid it gets hacked.
Oh, Lord, and it will be. Anonymous is going to do it just to prove a point.
Yes, but these smaller ISPs, they're going to be gone because they're not going to be able to afford this. Somebody brought up a really good point. Wi-Fi hotspots, how are they supposed to track their users? You know, you can pull into any McDonald's, turn on your laptop, and go. You know, you don't have to log in or anything.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to track this?
Girl, your guess is as good as mine.
No, this cannot go through. And like I said in my article yesterday, coming as an adult who was abused as a child, this money is being wasted. This time is being wasted. There are other things we could spend our money and our time on that would better help children that are in these situations or could be put in these situations. This is just another big brother trying to sneak into our homes. Stay out. Stop looking at my midget porn.
Ginger, I love when you talk about the midget porn. I do. I do. I love it. Well, this is my new story that I ended up closing right as Ginger said, go ahead, do another one. Yeah, because I suck. Okay, so you guys that watch TV, because Ginger doesn't, are familiar with Flo from Progressive Insurance.
Yeah.
The redhead you all love. Yeah. Some of you nerdy boys love you some Flo. I like Flo, too. So much so that I know her real name is Stephanie something or other. And she, if you're a fan of the Buffy Angel show, she was on Angel the very last, second to last season. Her character's name is Files and Records. go look it up. In any case, Godfather and EA.
Oh, no. Why did I know EA?
Okay, so through a collaboration with Progressive Insurance and EA, sparkly unicorns that Flo loves will soon be commonplace in virtual homes all over the world. Today, the two companies introduced a branded quest in the Sims Social, giving millions of people the opportunity to earn their own mythical one-horned horse. It's the first branded quest in the popular social game, but it won't alter the gameplay for socialites of The Sims Social. Chris Scott, who's Progressive's emerging media manager, said, "We wanted to make a quest that was fun and rewarding, but didn't jeopardize the integrity of the experience for the user." He says, "It'll play like other quests in the game, but will be unique in that the quest instructions will be given by Flo, Progressive's quirky superstore employee. The Sims Social on Facebook provides Progressive Insurance with the perfect platform to connect with a highly engaged audience." Dave Matt is the Senior Vice President of Global Media Solutions at EA and also apparently insane. He says, "By incorporating a uniquely branded quest within the Sims Social, we're able to reward our players with relevant content that enhances their gameplay thanks to Progressive Insurance. Similar to other quests in the Sims Social, users will be given a series of in-game tasks to complete. When the quest is finished, players will be rewarded with a sparkly Progressive-themed unicorn. As an added incentive for completing the quest, users who display the unicorn in their homes will receive daily benefits for a limited time." Limited time. The Sims Social integration marks the latest online digital adventures created by Progressive. The insurance company has previous experience in the online gaming space, producing games like Root Rages and the Superstore Shuffle. To play the Progressive quest in the Sims Social, you can, of course, find them on Facebook, apps.facebook.com/SimsSocial, blah, 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 blah. I think this is a horrible idea. I already am done or was much with Sims Social, but if I had any inkling to go back, I am definitely not going back. And it has nothing to do with Flo. Just quit doing this, EA.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
They try. On one hand, I can appreciate that you all like to try different forms of marketing, but it's always something so crazy and so far fetched. It just does not. It does not work well together. Okay, for instance, I know all of you. Did you manage last night to catch the what's the new game coming? I can't believe I can't remember the name of it. I see it in my head. Mass Effect. God, I suck. Okay, Mass Effect. The trailer was on during the Walking Dead show last night. And while I kind of wonder why, you know, they think that they need to advertise games during The Walking Dead, on the other hand, I get it. The Walking Dead is originally a comic book. People who read comic books tend to also be gamers most of the time, not all the time. So if you advertise it during a show when they're watching, most likely they're going to see it. It still kind of makes sense in a weird way. It makes sense. What does My Sims have to do with Progressive Insurance?
I have not got a clue, but I could understand maybe if there was some form of silly insurance that you bought in the game, you know, if that were part of it.
Yes.
But it's not, so there's I don't understand the link.
I don't either. By the way, kudos to you Mass Effect people for putting us a nice girl in there who's curvy in the trailer. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, no more with the angry birds. Now it's stop with the shockwave. All right, it's now angry fish. All right, so Angry Fish Deep Sea released for Xbox 360 Live Indie Games. A family tragedy leads to an epic tale of intrigue and revenge. This time around the angry fish are leaving the side first, and the fight is diving to new depths in the sea. Return to the battlefield with 63 uniquely puzzling levels. All right. Okay, so Angry Fish Deep Sea is a sequel to the action-packed physics puzzle game Angry Fish. Yeah, angry fish, angry, rawr, in which the player helps the fish get revenge against the cats that have taken the battle to new depths in the deep sea. Angry Fish Deep Sea features... Yeah.
I'm done.
I know, right? Oh, at least it's not farting dinosaurs. All right, so Angry Fish Deep Sea features a 7-battle trial mode that allows players to get a taste of the game and the different types of fish that can be used to battle against the cats for free. Angry Fish Deep Sea features an all-new fish, the clownfish, which has a wicked metal mode. Once the game is purchased, all 63 unique puzzling battles are unlocked along with 6 unique fish, each with their own special abilities. Many puzzles have been designed so that launching an attack of multiple fish out of the cannon in a semi-automatic fashion is a must. Oh my god, are you kidding me? Alright, so each battle must be completed before subsequent battles are unlocked. A 3-star battle point system has been implemented to award players for optimal destruction and technique. The player is awarded points for destroying objects, defeating cats, and for having a minimum amount of fish casualties. All right, so if you head over to GameMatrix.com this morning, I have a pack shot and some screenshots, and I'm not quite sure, but I think maybe even a trailer for you. So go over there and check that out.
I am in, yeah. okay. Quickly, I'm not going to go into this whole story. You guys can watch it. We'll discuss it maybe Thursday if you feel like it. But ABC News is going has gotten access to Apple's antenna. They're going to be airing it on Nightline tomorrow night. Yeah, tomorrow night. Yeah. So watch and be ready Thursday to talk about. All right. But I do also want to tell you about this because this is a gender thing. Yeah. Barnes & Noble is going to launch a 8-gigabyte Nook tablet to better fight fire. Kindle Fire.
Fight fire with fire?
Fight fire with Nook. According to VentureBeat, Barnes & Noble will soon launch a cheaper 8-gigabyte model of its Nook tablet to help the company compete with Amazon's blazing Kindle Fire, according to a document obtained by The Verge. Yes. You heard of them, right? Not The Verve. The Verge. Not The Verve. The Verge. The Verve is a group from the 90s. The current Nook tablet runs $249, but it has a hard time attracting cost-conscious consumers who prefer the $199 Kindle Fire. To bring down the price point of the tablet, being in lower capacity, 8 gigabytes from its currently available 16 gigabytes, that will lower the amount of room that lets you store e-books, e-magazines, games, and other media. See, now you messed up when you said the games part. thankfully, though, there is a micro SD slot on the Nook tablet that lets you bump up storage if you so feel it, if you feel so inclined. The Verge document points to a release date in just a few days, with a time starting at 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday, the 22nd. Mm-hmm. The document says units of the 8-gigabyte model should be delivered to stores between February the 18th and the 21st. Apple is also reportedly testing out a smaller size for its mega-popular iPad tablet. A move that would help it better fight smaller Android-based tablets like the Kindle Fire and Nook tablet. A Barnes & Noble representative did not immediately respond with any type of confirmation or denial of the reports from The Verge. I prefer, if I was going to get another tablet, I would get a Nook because it's much more adorable. If I think of it, again, in terms of handheld consoles, I think of the Nook being like a DS, and the Kindle Fire being like a PSP or a PS Vita. If you drop that freaking Kindle, the words I can't say on Norse time, it's going to shatter. And I tell you, it's not that I'm trying to throw my things on the ground. It's that I'm in a hurry. I told y'all last Friday, I'm trying to find lip gloss in the purse, and you're trying to find keys, and things start falling out of the purse. And if it's just going to break, I just wasted my money. Whereas I know if I drop a DS, and I have dropped my DS many times, and my Zune, another very well-made product. Yeah, my DS does not have a scratch on it. Yes, I keep promising I'm going to take pictures for y'all, because that was the first round of DSs, not the DS Lite, because that one will break on you. But the first round of DSs they made, like a freaking brick. I couldn't damage it even if I you have to try to damage it. I have to take a sledgehammer to it. It's a good product. That's the newest, like when I touched it. You were doing that Friday, Ginger was tapping her fingernails on it. And you can hear the difference in the way that it sounds when you tap a Kindle if you're a woman, because only we do stuff like this. But when stuff is durable, it sounds different when your nails hit it. It's solid. You can tell, I can't break this very easily. I can, be walking through the house and accidentally hit a wall. That happens sometimes, and it's going to be fine, whereas my Kindle's going to shatter. I'm sorry.
Yes, and like my wonderful, lovely Android, my Xperia Play, man, I have dropped that thing. I have thrown it. My Nook, whatever. I've dropped it several times. It's fine.
That's good made product. I just don't trust Kindle.
I was looking at that PSP. Was it PSP?
Vita or the PSP?
Yeah, the Vita. It was Vita the other day. There we go. Looking at the Vita the other day. That thing, you drop it, you're going to hit glass all the way around. There is no bumper. Not good.
Mm-mm.
All right, so what have we got? Oh, good Lord. All right, I got to cough before I do this. Okay.
And I went to sip coffee, and my cup is empty. Garçon!
Oh, no!
Oh, I forgot. I'm not at Starbucks. Go ahead, Ginger.
All right, entertainment industry seeks to give Sopa Pippa Message a makeover. Yay, because you know a little bit of lip gloss and some eyeshadow and we'll be good to go. All right, so readers of Politico probably won't believe that it's simply a messaging problem that killed the controversial Sopa and Pippa bills earlier this year. We were there and we know that it was who wrote this? We were there, and we know that it was millions of people who lobbied lawmakers in droves until they cried uncle. According to that report, Hollywood is rewriting the script on these laws with plans to reintroduce them in a better light to the American public. At this time, as of yet, it's undetermined. An unnamed entertainment industry executive told Politico, "We can't throw any old message out there. We need to be smart about it, where we put it, how we say it, who says it. I don't care what pretty face you put behind it. Dude, this thing stinks." All right, but the most disturbing part of the report was that it shows that the collusion between lawmakers and the entertainment industry on these bills is not just some far-flung internet conspiracy theory. It's as real as the nose on your face. The anonymous executive said that lawmakers backing SOPA and PIPA have asked for a more robust PR effort from the motion picture industry, not only in Washington, but outside of Washington, to get people to understand why they should care about this issue as consumers. Oh, my God. All right. So the story the studios and content industry were selling is not what people wanted to buy. This is coming from Dean Garfield, CEO of the Information Technology Industry Council and former Motion Picture Association of America executive. The medium is important, but the message is even more important. All right, so apparently the article goes on to detail how the debut of Chris Dodd, former Connecticut senator and current president of the MPAA on TV and on the internet, was a flop. His messaging wasn't at all that great either, calling Wikipedia and Google's part on the protest a gimmick and a publicity stunt. Yeah, probably didn't help. What was that one thing he said? Something about, "I'm not going to look out for your job if you don't look out for mine," or something.
Yeah,
"I'm not going to write you a check." Yeah.
Yeah, basically threatened Hollywood. See Hollywood? Now you see who you were dealing with. Hmm?
Yes, exactly. All right.
That's sad.
Yeah. So people, I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how many bows you put on it. I don't care how many naked midget strippers you have dancing around the signs, you know, trying to get me to vote for you and whatnot. It's bad.
Let me throw another thing out there that's really bad, because for some reason we keep getting these, and I would like to speak specifically to people who run casinos. I'm not going to say the name. Yes, I'm going to call them you people. You people who run casinos, not that I have anything against it, but please stop putting the information about your casinos in with the gaming industry stuff. You are a whole different kind of industry. You need to find a different name. This one's ours.
Yes, thank you.
This is annoying that I keep looking at this. And I'm also not an advocate of you, again, advertising this as a gaming thing, because some people have issues with gambling. They have addictions. Not saying if you put it somewhere else it's going to make it better, but I specifically don't want it in with my stuff. Okay? Okay, thank you. Now, I got to move along. Because we got some other juice that just came across.
Oh, yeah? What do we get?
Well, this didn't come across my desk. But I'd like to put this next dedicated one to Apple, because you all have been just growing up. Man, Steve, I know you're just rolling in your grave, but Apple. yet another counterfeit game made it through to the...
Another?
Floor. Yes, and it...
Who... All right, that's it. Somebody hire me. I will go through and I will see.
Wait. wait till you hear what game it is. How this one made it through, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon.
Are you kidding me?
Pokemon. One Mr. Daniel Burford,
oh my God,
operating under the company name of Home of Anime, is currently selling Pokemon Yellow, Digimon Plus, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Plus. Yes, those games. on the App Store at current. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Pokemon app description includes the following press quotes. Fantastic and addictive gameplay. 6 stars. Just like the original, only better because you can play it on the most intuitive device ever, the iPhone 5. Hundreds of hours of gameplay fun and collecting all Pokemon. Great app from the Home of Anime. Thanks, unnamed media outlets. Why not just attribute all of them to IGN? No one would doubt it then. Mm-hmm. That's the only time you hear from the IGN. despite the rave reviews, the app has already somehow received that has already received customer reviews. Some are not quite so positive. Some real people have replied, said things like, "I want my money back, and if I don't get it, I'm going to sue the person who made this application. This is just a ripoff, lying to us what it contains." Someone said, "Should have read the bottom comments before purchasing. This is a scam. Crashes after main screen." Currently, there are roughly 600 reviews, averaging 1.5 stars for the Pokemon app. Pokemon Yellow was released for the Game Boy in 1998. Note also that the screenshots that they're using are from a more recent Pokemon game, not Pokemon Yellow. wow.
Wow.
I don't know who to
be sued.
You know, Apple, this is exactly why, I stress again, you all need to go over to the ESRB and say, look, we're going to put some money behind you. We need some of your people to help us out with this. We want to use your rating systems, and then we need you. Because, honestly, again, if they were going through these like they do other video games, they would have already caught this and noticed that it's not from Nintendo. They would have noticed immediately, this is not a Nintendo game, and it would have never made it onto your App Store if you required them to go through that process. As it is now, again, anybody can make an app and just post it up. And I know you keep saying, we're trying not to stifle free speech. Sometimes, this is not even stifling it. It's a matter of making sure you cover your own ass. And you may keep thinking nobody can get us, but come on. If you had just policed this, or police this the proper way, instead of being standoffish from a game community, you want to get people's people.
You don't want to be part of us.
Yeah,
you are part of us. So stop.
Want us to be playing
alone over there in the corner.
And you may say, "Oh well, we already got you, Corey. You got an iPad. I like one out. I didn't pay for it. So how you get that money?" That was a gift. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I am so multitasking. Do y'all hear me? I'm opening bills while we do the news.
I totally see that. I totally see that.
This is an opening bills. I'm out of order. I'm sorry. Go to your
chair. There are some yummy, delicious fights going on this year. All right, this one's a bit long, so bear with me. War of the Words, the Pirate Bay versus the RIAA.
Okay, go.
Yes, I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. It's always interesting when two opposing factions duel with words in the public square, and Torrent Freak does it best to facilitate the messaging of both sides in two different stories. All right, so on the RIAA's official blog, Glazier calls this tactic Exhibit A for why the U.S. needs laws dealing with rogue websites. What does he say? A blatantly illegal file-sharing site, proud that it's an online bazaar of every conceivable U.S. copyrighted work, found criminally responsible by its own country's legal system that, hey, we helped fund, by the way, I'm just throwing that in, and who has been ordered by courts in at least 7 European countries to be blocked by ISPs, has publicly acknowledged changing its domain name to escape U.S. laws. But he also adds that Pirate Bay is motivated by its brazen philosophy. I was eating candy beforehand. Philosophy of thumbing its nose at the basic rights of America's creators. He calls the operators of the notorious site one of the worst of the worst, and then calls all major tech companies to work with them to deal with this problem. He goes on to say responsible leaders in the tech community should come to the table with constructive ideas and work with us and others to address this blatant theft before more damage is done to our economy and creative community. Oh my God, but not so fast, says a member of the Pirate Bay. A guest editorial on Torrent Freak penned by the Pirate Bay's Winston calls our RIAA boss Mitch Glazier delusional and says groups like the RIAA must be stopped.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he says the senior executive vice president of the RIAA, Mitch Glazier, has published a blog post on why TPB is one of the worst of the worst. The piece gives us ample information on just how delusional the recording industry really is and shows us why they must be stopped. In the very first sentence, Glazier uses the copyright. Yes, he continues, it's an interesting concept. If anyone in history ever stole copyright, it must be the record industry. At least they tried, as in the Swedish TPB case, where they sued over a record they did not have a copyright to. Right. So, yeah, this is a big fight, and I'm going to side with the Pirate Bay over this. I'm sorry, RIAA. You guys are just unreal to call them the worst of the worst. All right, the worst of the worst of what? I mean, because he got, what, 50 years in prison for copyright material? The guy who molested a little girl gets 3 years probation and a $3,000, sorry, 5 years
probation. I said that. They're ready to put Kim, you know, under the jail, but
yeah.
There's men that do way worse crimes than stealing some money.
There's the guy who, or his wife was missing. Hey, let's let him have visitation of his kids. Now his and him are gone.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Seriously.
We have
ridiculous. We are so, so far out of perspective on this.
Now, the other irony of all this is, he what's his face, the Pirate Bay, is exactly right. They are very delusional. A lot of them, again, we've talked about this before, our people that are in power in the government don't have a clue how the internet works. And rather than, you know, be honest and say, really, I just don't know how this all works. I really don't. I don't understand. They, you know, come in and all they see is dollar signs. This is all about money for them, if they feel like money's being taken from them. And
yeah.
I told you guys this before when I had a different website. I got to interview Busta Rhymes. Wonderful rapper. He is unparalleled by many as far as his poetic skills. But, dude, Busta, when he was going off about Napster, they're stealing my music. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, how are they stealing your music? It's a file-sharing service. Your friends bought your music. That's how they got it, because there was no iTunes then. They bought your music, and then they decided to share it with whoever they wanted to share it with, which at the time was not on the label that it was illegal. This, again, shows people that are in power have no idea how the internet works. All it takes is someone to point out to them and say, hey, so-and-so's downloading your music, and you didn't get a dollar for that. And see, they got it from this service, and this service is stealing your music. No.
Mm-hmm.
The person who somewhere either they bought it or they got it from somebody else. Somebody at some point bought it, okay, is what it boils down to. The other people may be downloading it for free, and unfortunately, we are at fault if we're downloading it for free. But the file sharing service is not the one to be blamed.
Yes.
They're just not.
I totally agree here.
So why the we're going to go after Pirate Bay, we're going to go after this one? All Pirate Bay did is create a place. Here, you want to, you know, you want to put your stuff up, you go ahead. I'm going to stand back. And that's no different than, in my eyes, I'm going to go extreme, the Good Samaritan law. If you guys don't know what it is, I mean, you have the right, if an accident happened or somebody's hurt, to say, I'm not going to help them, or, you know, I'm going to stand back. I'm just going to stand here. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to touch you because I don't want to be sued. This is the same thing here. Pirate Bay says, I see the car wreck, but I'm just not helping. I could stand there and direct and tell you what not to do. By the way, if you get caught using the site, you could get into trouble. But, hey, it's up to you. There is no difference to me. And instead of going after the file-sharing people, you need to be looking at the people who are actually uploading the illegal stuff. Like the guy who ruined my Wolverine movie. I'm still mad at you.
She is still so
I'm hot about that. And I didn't, honestly, you're like, why'd you watch it, Corey? I was like, it didn't click to me what was going on, honestly. I was trying not to watch it, but it was on my TV in my house. There was nowhere else for me to go.
You had to watch it.
I didn't watch all of it because I got irritated. As soon as I said, wait a minute. I said, isn't this due out next week? Put it this way, there are press people, sometimes we get advanced copy stuff. And, yeah, that's a lot of people get involved in, you know, games, websites and stuff. They like getting advanced copies. So there's been a couple of movies that have come through the house, and that's what I thought it was a screen copy. We know people. That's what I thought. It was a screened copy. And then when I looked at it, it wasn't finished, and I was just like, oh, my God, you ruined my movie. You just ruined my movie. This is not a screen copy. Is it? Okay.
Wow.
This is horrible. You people, quit uploading the illegal stuff. If you got to have it, get it, keep it by yourself. I'm not saying I want you to do it in the first place, but if you got to keep your mouth shut, you don't need to share all the time, damn it.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, goodness. I'm not sitting here yawning.
Yeah, you are. You liar.
No. All right. More fights. GamePolitics.com, Fortress Craft developer rejects claims that his game is a Minecraft clone. I did not just call you a reject. My bad. In a lengthy back and forth with Eurogamer, Fortress Craft creator Adam Sawkins explains why his Xbox Live game is so much more than a clone of Minecraft. With Minecraft officially launching next month on Xbox Live, Sawkins is taking a lot of heat from the press and gamers about his game. Many say that it is simply a cheap knockoff of Minecraft.
Oops.
Yeah, Sawkins, who worked on the Burnout series before striking out on his own, takes issues with the comparisons to Minecraft. He says Minecraft is a game about digging out resources, crafting weapons and armor, traveling into the Nether, and killing a dragon. All right, he says, whilst it lets you be creative, that's never been its main focus. You can spend ages creating amazing things in it, but Minecraft is never about the creative aspect in any more than GTA is about making sculptures out of buses. Sure, you can do it, but the game doesn't lend itself to that, nor does it help you out. Wow, all right. So Sawkins goes on to say that the new on to list the new features of the game has added recently, including night vision goggles, colored lighting, a custom world generation system, lasers, fairy wings, factories, an island mode, and multiple PvP modes, along with other things. These things, along with unique game functions, make his game nothing like Minecraft, contends Sawkins. He says Fortress Craft, on the other hand, has focused almost entirely on the creative aspect. It's a powerful voxel engine.
That's why I keep saying oops.
Yeah, it allows complete creation and destruction of anything you want. It allows you to create high-resolution custom blocks, place them, and then animate them. It has automated robotic minions to help take the grind out of creating something amazing. And if that's not enough, the game has an elegant copy-and-paste system allowing you to create entire cities in a matter of hours rather than days. Despite all the differences with his game and Minecraft, people continue to assail him on the fact that he's making money off a game whose concept is lifted from Mojang's game. He points out that some could accuse Mojang of stealing another game called Infiniminer, developed by Zachtronics. See, people, he's kind of got a point. How many people run around shouting that Zachtronics should sue Mojang? Minecraft stole half the name and the basic idea and the graphic style from any Infiniminer. Why am I apparently held to a different set of standards?
I could say they stole it from a game that me and the Women in Gamers group made years ago because it looked similar when I saw it. So how do I know he didn't steal it from us? I'm just saying. He might have a point.
Yeah. You know what, people, there's out there so much creativity still not tapped into yet that you are all running around copying each other and then wanting to, you know, well, I had it first. No, I'm sorry. Take your little EPing contest and go. I don't like any of your games. They're all blocky and ugly.
Hey!
Your game was made way back when, though, you know?
I got an excuse, right?
Yeah, you've got an excuse. That was way back when. These are today's games, and they're ugly.
You know, the funny thing is, like I said, first time I saw Minecraft, I immediately thought of our game. And I, at one point, thought, I wonder if I should find out if this guy was, you know, in any way affiliated with anybody that had anything to do with this game. And I still have all the paperwork, all the stuff in my file behind me, the design. But it's not really worth it. If he's doing well, fine. What? I don't really care. If I cared about it, I would have made the game myself, in all honesty.
Exactly, exactly.
So at some point, you all... You know who you need to be mad at, this Pokemon guy. Obviously, he stole.
Yes, mad at Pokemon guy.
He stole. Unfortunately, sometimes you end up making something similar to somebody else. We got three games out now that are similar. Skyrim, Kingdoms of Amalur, and Dragon Age are very similar games. similar gameplay. They look similar. If I put them next to each other, sometimes I can't tell which is which. So if you, you know, if you didn't tell me, I'd be like, wait a minute, I think that's Dragon. No, that's not Dragon Age. That, I don't know. So so it happens. Sometimes great minds do think alike. So get over it. Unless when he, when it's out, if it is exactly like Minecraft, y'all should not be looking at each other's papers. That's all I got to say. Anyway, and
no,
he, and
no,
he won't make any money. He won't make any money. Vote with your dollars if you don't like it. Anyway.
Exactly.
There's some misunderstandings.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah? What kind of misunderstandings?
According to Activision, Venture Beat is reporting that a French gaming site called GameBlock, FR, Activision, blacklisted them after they ran a Call of Duty-related article earlier this week. The article pointed to Amazon.fr, which had posted a product page for Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which hasn't officially been announced yet. GameBlock claimed Activision asked them to remove the article. It also notes that other sites had been contacted to, and chose to oblige the game publisher. And when they did not, they were uninvited from an upcoming media event and taken off the company's mailing list for reviews. Activision also allegedly canceled any current or planned advertising being done on the GameBlock site. Uh-huh. See, y'all thought we were making this up when we said they did this. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier yesterday, an external PR firm gave VentureBeat a statement on behalf of Activision saying Activision doesn't blacklist journalists. We believe this was a misunderstanding and we're working towards a resolution. Also, GameBlock editor, he spoke with a friend of Kotaku and said the journalist who wrote the first news piece called Call of Duty Black Ops 2, confirmed by Amazon, there's a link to it. His name is Julian Chies, who is one of the co-founders of the company with others and himself, originally spotted the info on Twitter. He then proceeded with verifying it by witnessing it firsthand on Amazon.fr and getting a screenshot of their product webpage. The French website Jeuxvideo, and it's not what you think, jeuxvideo.com, also had done a piece of its own with their own screenshots. And by the time our article was posted, this was included as another reference in our own piece. We also had confirmation later that several people had received the Amazon France newsletter in the meantime with a reference to Call of Duty Black Ops in it. Our article was posted at 1:05 p.m. French time. That's CET, for those of you who don't know. Activision first tried to call, he said, at 2:16 p.m. and he couldn't answer. Then sent an email, said pulling a news piece urgent, to both of the journalist and the owner of the site at 2:24 p.m. asking them please take down the news piece now. That Activision didn't make any announcement that Amazon took upon themselves to publish this information without consulting Activision, and that it was asked as a favor. I returned the phone call at 2:30 p.m., he says, during which Activision asked the same thing as a favor, insisting that this was a very serious matter to them for internal reasons they couldn't elaborate on, and that the other major web outlets had already taken down their piece. This also made clear that the relationship was to be severed. All advertisement plans canceled, games not sent, and invitations to events later canceled. He explained that he couldn't take down the article and why, mainly that Activision didn't have any right to intervene in our editorial, that it was newsworthy to us, and that our job was first and foremost to inform our readers that the news piece didn't argue that it was in anything official on Activision's end and was correctly phrased to reflect it, notably with a question mark. And at that point, Activision argued that they were disappointed, asked that we please consider, he says, with all the consequences that it could lead to. He says he agreed to do so, told them he would get back to them later and give them his final decision. They were unreachable for the rest of the afternoon. After business hours, he said he had a short text conversation in which he restated that they wouldn't pull the article, and if asked, they should consider themselves blacklisted as a result. It was around 8:30 p.m., and Activision answered, we would resume conversation by phone the next morning. The news piece stayed online untouched during the night. The next morning, he said he talked to them on the phone. They tried to again explain that they needed them to pull the article. He said he refused again. They insisted that it would seriously deteriorate the professional relationship between the two of them, that they weren't fully aware of the consequences that this could have, and that they had already contacted their advertising agency, which buys ad space for them. And he said he asked them again if they should consider themselves blacklisted, and more precisely, if his journalist or another one was able to send the preview of Fall of Cybertron that was planned next week, to which they had already been invited. Activision said no. They also made clear that the relationship was to be severed, all advertisement plans canceled, games not sent, and invitations to later events canceled as well. He said he explained that if this was their decision indeed, they would inform their readers of it, and they did so later in the day. So they published their article that said they were blacklisted. Okay, so the company that is running this is called it's a games PR is not shy about flexing muscle over smaller outfits to get a preferable end result. Just last year, Jim Rednor contemplated withholding review copies from outlets that gave Duke Nukem Forever bad scores over Twitter, a move that quickly got him fired by 2K. EA was found to be surveying Norwegian journalists in order to prioritize outlets that would likely give Battlefield through favor. And this journalist is also saying he's personally encountered similar situations throughout his career, most notably Bethesda's VP of PR and marketing, Pete Hines, that threatened to pull ads from a website that the author over at VentureBeat is saying he worked for after the writer gave Fallout New Vegas less than a perfect score. Okay. And this is up on VentureBeat. See, guys, when we told you this, it was not just us girls bitching. They do this, and this is why we need a major media outlet.
We do. Stay tuned, people.
This is why we need one, so that this kind of thing gets out. I think we had any trouble with Bethesda, and the reason why is one of the ladies there is really in love with Blaster.
Who isn't?
In a serious way. I'm not.
Blaster.
I love him, but I'm not in love with him. All right, Blaster. We had some trouble with the Duke Nukem people, and I met with him at PAX, and we did not get a copy of Duke Nukem 3. And I went there and gave them the business, the fluffy cakes and the cuteness, and they were loving us. But we had a show that next week where Blaster, remember, we were arguing back and forth about how we thought it was going to be good or bad, and I think maybe they heard that, and they started giving us a runaround. We don't have any more copies. And I know they did. Because our news media outlets for gaming is so underground, they don't think we all interact and talk with each other. So I know they had copies. I was talking to my other peoples that run other sites. I knew they had copies. They didn't want to give it to us. And we're also predominantly female. They're thinking blah, blah, blah. Obviously, yeah, I'm going to call you out if it's sexist. But at the same time, if it's a good game, it's a good game.
Exactly.
I was going to say, hey, you could have thrown me a woman in there, but it's really, you know, it was fun to play. I can overlook that. But we do call you on it if you... You know, you make us look bad as women, but good game's a good game. Send it over. But I would like to warn all of you, EA Activision, a new day is a dawning.
Yes, a new day is dawning. So beautiful.
It's coming. And Ginger, guess what?
We got 12 minutes left?
Yeah, it's not time for a break. Full hours.
Yay! We do no music? Just at the end?
No break. We're just going to go on to the end. We don't need it.
Okay, we can do that. All right. So what do we got? Mojo Bones unleashes the curse. An ancient book with 100 cryptic pages, a jinx that must be broken, a mischievous and malevolent adversary, Mojo Bones unveils the curse. All right, so The Curse is a story-driven puzzle game unlike any other, tasking players with solving the mystery of an ancient book in order to defeat the master of mischief himself, the Mannequin. Each of the book's 100 pages presents a unique puzzle to be overcome, ranging from riddles to the fiendish trials of logic and skill. Each puzzle has been designed to provide a unique challenge. Players will need to reveal hidden riddles, test their reflexes against the clock, and flex their memory skills, all in hope of unlocking the game's ultimate test, the infamous Puzzle 101. The curse also introduces a mysterious adversary that must be defeated. Upon activating the book, players unwittingly free the Mannequin, an antagonist unlike any other, and a worthy foe. Players will be drawn into the experience in exciting new ways, bridging the gap between game and reality. Be astounded as the Mannequin reads your mind, plays tricks on you, and invites you to take part in various challenges. Will you be able to solve all 100 pages and banish the Mannequin back to the pages of the mysterious book? Will you be able to shake the curse and reveal the final challenge, the Cryptic Puzzle 101? Only time will tell. All right, so head over to Xbox.com this morning. I have I have a video up for you. I have pictures up for you. Go over there and check this out. This looks really kind of cool. It's very pretty. Yay!
Well, I'm just typing. I'm just typing away and talking. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys.
Hold on.
Whew. This is rough this hour, isn't it?
I know, right?
I know it's not.
My voice.
We're fine. All right, so some of you are... Oh, wait. There's more on that story I just told you about from Activision. Oh, there's a counter statement.
Oh, tell us.
Wait, my computer done froze up on me. Crap.
Oh, I hate it when
wait. Okay, here we go. Activision is saying that we don't blacklist journalists.
Liars.
Dirty liars. Okay. A PR agency told GamesBeat and GI.biz on behalf of the company, we don't blacklist journalists. We believe this is a misunderstanding. The Call of Duty publisher, of course, as we just told you, faced the accusations of blacklisting last week after French site Gameblog.gr reported on sightings of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 listing on Amazon. The game, while hardly a surprise to anyone, even with the basic knowledge of AAA franchises, has not yet been formally announced, and the news story sent the Activision PR machine into a frenzy. A representative for the company did contact Gameblog editor Gregory Schwitzer a number of times asking him to pull the story. As we just told you, he refused, blah, 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 blah. But Activision is saying, of course, we don't do that. The practice of public relations blacklisting by game publishers is one that is suspected by media outlets but rarely admitted by PR representatives themselves. They are not saying much of anything other than we don't blacklist. You guys are liars.
You're liarsons.
Hands on fire.
Liars.
We don't appreciate it.
No, we don't. We don't appreciate that at all. Stop lying to us.
You know you don't lie to a woman. You know we.
Yes.
You know how we roll.
All right. Did we read this the other day? I'm trying to think. Did we talk about anonymous hacking?
They are busy. So.
Yeah. All right. So I'm not quite for sure whether or not.
You can tell.
Oh, no. I remember you did read this one because I remember you had to. All right. Never mind.
I can hold it.
Yeah. GamePolitics.com, Zynga wins, loses in latest round of social apps lawsuit. The federal district court in Oakland, California, has denied a motion to dismiss a suit against Zynga brought by game developer Social Apps, LLC. The developer accused Zynga of copying his Facebook game, My Farm. Social Apps claimed that Zynga had shown interest in buying the rights and codes for My Farm and began the process sharing due diligence of material. The companies entered into a letter agreement in May 2009, and Social Apps began sharing information and source code. But Social Apps alleges that Zynga suddenly stopped communicating with them and used the My Farm source code to create Farmville, which was released in June 2009. Social Apps filed a lawsuit in July 2011 claiming misappropriation of trade secrets and breach of contract. Zynga's lawyers moved to dismiss the trade secrets and breach of implied contract claims in the suit in October of last year. Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers granted Zynga a motion on Monday dismissing the theft of trade secrets claims related to My Farm. The judge ruled that because Social Apps My Farm was online 6 months before the May 2009 letter agreement, the images and features were already public. Publicly available information, by definition, cannot be protected as a trade secret. Hey, wait a minute. Anything the RIA and the MPAA should, find interesting? Just curious.
Oh, no, of course not. Never.
Mm-hmm. The judge also ruled that the three claims for breach of implied contract, confidence, and implied covenants related to the My Farm source code would not be dismissed. The allegations here are sufficient to allege conduct beyond a mere breach of the terms of agreement, which would support a claim for tort damages. Zynga did not seek a dismissal for Social Apps claims of copyright infringement and breach of written contract. Social Apps counsel Graham Lipsmith of Giardi Keys said that the ruling does not affect the lawsuit at all. He also said that damages will be astronomical given the success of Farmville. Lawyers for the company plan to amend the dismissed claim, which the judge gave them space to do. Wow, Zynga, you've had a rough year so far, you really have. And did you have to still Farmville, really? Come on.
I think I could have made Farmville, and I suck at coding.
I know.
I'm just saying. All right, Target, you know what? I speak good of you, and then you mess up.
Oh, great. What did they do?
So as of yesterday, VentureBeat is reporting that Target is refusing to honor its buy two, get one free for Vita games. But Best Buy is. In Target's latest weekly ad, the retail chain revealed a buy two, get one free promotion for PlayStation Vita games. The Vita hits stores shelves next week on February the 22nd, or actually this week, and the Target sale runs from February 19th to Friday, February the 25th. Now, however, forum goers at cheapassgamer.com, and that's the name of the site, yes, have been having mixed or negative results, saying some Targets are not honoring the deal, even when the customer has the ad in hand. Target, you should know not to mess with the gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the retail chain Best Buy is saying, we'll price match. Good
Ooh.
Move, Best Buy. Ooh. The ad also has a wider selection of Vita games available. Target apparently isn't carrying all launch titles. This was a post by one named DeGarcia2678. Yes, your name is up in lights. Pay attention. He says, I got the Best Buy to price match. This was no fight. Didn't even get a manager involved. Possibly the easiest PM I've done in a long time. Amazon.com is also expected to follow suit for those who prefer to do their shopping from the comfort of their home. Oh! So if you're looking to get yourself a copy, get that deal honored, you're not going to get it done at Target. Target, this is a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
Not a smart move either. Oh, what is up with Target?
I'm not quite for certain. Target has some interesting business things. I'll just leave it at that.
I was all excited about the fact that they started buying electronics, but you're not this is a big thing, the PlayStation Vita, okay? Not that I want one, but if I did, I would be mad.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because my Target is closer to me than my Best Buy. I'm just saying, I could be a Target and back.
Why's the devil? I plucked them in with EA.
Yeah, I usually put...
You overcharge me for stuff. You charge me like 3 times the amount.
They're price matching. I wonder if Walmart is going to be... Is Walmart carrying the Vita, and will they be price matching? Because they're good about price matching it.
Oh, Walmart will price match anybody.
Ooh, this
bring
is going...
Bring dirty diapers, they're going to price match.
Target. That's a Southernism right there for those of you who don't know. Target. Sad.
Isn't that good?
Well, here's some bad news about our peoples over at Microsoft. Say again?
Time. What are we doing?
Oh, it's not time yet, honey.
Okay.
We're a full hour today. Did you forget? We still got 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw this one in, and then we're probably going to go.
Okay.
I have been hearing rumblings of this for some years, but as I often tell y'all, I'm a little too close to some people at Microsoft, so I tend not to share a lot of things. I hear that, and I don't want them to not trust me, bag me in the head while I'm sleeping because I'm usually at their house. You don't want to wake up with an angry gamer standing over you.
Yeah, true story.
Although some of them are cute. Anyway, Double Fine's Tim Schafer joined those calling for Microsoft to change its Xbox Live policies towards developers or face a mass migration of talent.
Ooh.
And see, Double Fine now has a little power since they got that big mill behind them. Just to see, they don't have serious power, but they got a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I like Sony and Microsoft, but those systems are closed and curated very closely, and it costs a lot more money to go through that system to patch a game. This is what he told Industry Gamers, explaining the attraction of the App Store and Steam for indie developers. He says, it makes me stressed out that if I put a game up there, I might not be able to patch it because it costs too much money, whereas those for more open platforms will let us manage our own price and our own updates. He says, it's just a lot more appealing right now. Schafer also referenced the infamous Is XBLA Past Its Prime article written by one Mr. Ron Caramel, who saw the indie developer showed the Xbox Live was losing the support of indie developers while the PSN was gaining it. Remember, we told you about that a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I was really hoping that it would be a really, really eye-opening article for some console manufacturers, and I feel like it's been totally dismissed. It's because you don't have a major news outlet. Saying. He says, I really think it's something they can't miss, and they should really pay a lot more attention to it because it's calling attention to a migration. An exit is real talent away from those platforms to more open platforms. And I think they should do something to reverse that really quickly. Schaefer recently made headlines, of course, by using the Kickstarter crowdfunding service to back his next title. The point-and-click adventure is now nearing the 2 million mark in contributions from the gaming community. Mm.
Wow. Good God.
All right, and we have now gone over to overtime, and we were not planning it, but I'm hoping that this is a little bit behind like it has been all day. So we're going to say our goodbyes. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Yay! We'll be here again tomorrow, another full hour.
Will we?
Yeah,
yeah, we will. All right. Bye, people.
Later, boys and girls.